Let's turn to 1 John and chapter 5. 1 John and chapter 5. And we'll begin reading at verse 6. 1 John chapter 5, starting to read at verse 6. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. During my days at the architectural practice, when I was a lad, I can remember being quite fearful about going into my boss's office and asking him for something. You see, if you went into his office and he was sitting behind his desk, speaking to someone on the telephone, he could be quite dismissive. He would just wave his hand like that, and he was basically telling you to get out because he was busy. Or if he wasn't on the telephone, he might ask you to come and sit down in front of him, but he would enjoy saying no to your request. And I think that probably had to do with him enjoying his authority. He had the authority to say no to you whenever he wanted. I wonder what kind of confidence we have when it comes to going before the Lord in prayer. Do we come before the Lord confident that he will answer our prayers, that he will give to us the things that we ask him for? I said last Sunday that I would probably be preaching one more sermon on 1 John. Well, there's going to be another sermon on 1 John following this week, because I really wanted to give some time this evening to speaking on this matter of confidence in prayer. I want to encourage us to go before the throne of God with a sense of expectancy. Now, in verse 13 of 1 John chapter 5, we see why John has written this letter. Verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Those who he was writing to, they believed in Jesus. Well, because you believe in Jesus, says John, I want you to know, I want you to be confident in the fact that eternal life is yours. And what is eternal life? Well, let us allow Jesus to provide us with a definition. This is a definition that Jesus gave to us. He prayed his high priestly prayer in John 17. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. What is eternal life? Eternal life is fellowship with God. It's quite natural, therefore, isn't it, for John to go on in verse 14 and verse 15 to speak about prayer. After all, prayer is all about drawing near to God and talking to Him and enjoying fellowship with Him. So how can we have confidence in prayer to God? Well, let's read verses 14 and 15. We'll keep reading them throughout our time together this evening, but let's read it again now. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. We can have confidence in approaching God in prayer by knowing that, one, He hears us, and two, He gives to us the things that we ask Him for. But before we consider these two things, we must take note of the fact that John tells us there is a condition to God hearing and giving. We can't expect God to simply give to us everything that we ask for. And actually, that's a good thing, isn't it, if we stop and think about it? Because sometimes we might ask for things from God that would result in our spiritual harm if He were to give them to us. And God will never give to us anything that might be harmful to our souls. He will only give to us for our good and, of course, for His glory. I mean, those of us who are our parents here this evening, we don't give to our children, do we, those things that would harm them. What is it that children might ask for? Sweets. Well, we might give them one or two, but we wouldn't give them all the sweets that they want, would we? Not if we love them, because those sweets will do harm to their teeth. They'll rot their teeth. Dads, if they really love their teenage sons, will not give to them fast sports cars, because they're likely to do themselves an injury. But you know, we have misunderstood prayer if we think that prayer is a means to getting all that we want. No, prayer is not about getting all the things that we want from God. Prayer is about getting God's will done on earth. And it's important that we remember that. One Christian author writes, prayer, rightly considered, is not a device of imploring the resources of God to fulfill our desires, but a means by which our desires may be redirected according to the mind of God and made into the channels of His will. Of course, it's because we sometimes pray contrary to the will of God that God says no to us. As I was preparing, I was reminded of the story in Acts where the Apostle Paul wanted to go and preach the word of God in Asia. Presumably, Paul prayed that God would make the way for him to go there. But God said no. No, that's not the way that I want you to go. And in a vision, of course, God made it clear to him that He wanted him to go to Macedonia instead. It's because we don't always pray according to God's will that he says no. Though, to be fair, sometimes God is so good that he still answers our prayers, but in a way that's different to how we asked. Do you remember Paul had his thorn in the flesh? We don't know what it was. We often debate between ourselves as to what it was, but clearly it got him down, it troubled him, and three times he prayed that the Lord would take it away, but it wasn't his will for it to be taken away. God said no. But God didn't just say no. God said to Paul, I'm going to give you grace. And my grace will be sufficient for you so that you can cope in your ministry with it day by day. We must pray according to the will of God. So the question, I suppose, that we must now ask is, how do we know the will of God so that we might pray aright? Well, the Bible, of course, tells us how we can pray aright. The Bible tells us what God's will is and what it is that we should be praying for. We only have to turn to the Lord's Prayer, for example, to get an idea as to how we can pray according to the will of God. We should be praying for God's kingdom to come. We should be praying for the things that we need. You see, God answers our prayers when we ask him to meet our need. Perhaps we need wisdom. Sometimes in our lives we're not sure as to the way we should go or how we should handle a particular situation. Well, what do we read in James 1? If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. We should be praying for grace to forgive others. We should be praying that we might not fall into temptation and sin. We could spend a whole evening, couldn't we? Thinking about all the things that God would have us pray for in order that we might pray according to his will. But perhaps the challenge for us this evening is to make sure that we are immersing ourselves in the Word of God so that we know how to pray according to his will. But here is a challenge for all of us this evening. I challenge myself. Are we willing to pray for God's will to be done, especially in our own lives? Jesus, of course, was willing to pray that the will of the Father might be done in his own life. And you will remember, I'm sure, the words that he spoke to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. You see, it's so easy for us to turn to the Lord and to say to him, Lord, show me your will for my life. And then lay down all the conditions that we want God to meet. Lord, show me your will for my life. But I want you to know that before I do what you want me to do, I want to do these things. And whatever it is that you call me to do, I want you to know that I need to earn at least this amount of money. And I don't mind where you send me or what you call me to do, but I'm not going there, and I'm not going there, and I'm not doing that, and I'm not doing that. Are we willing to pray for God's will to be done, especially in our own lives? It's challenging, isn't it? So we must pray according to God's will, but when we pray according to God's will, firstly, he hears us. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That is, God takes heed to what we say and responds to what we ask. Let me take us to the book of Daniel for a moment. Perhaps you turn with me to Daniel and chapter 10. I'll encourage you to turn with me to the book so that we can read a chunk of it together. Daniel chapter 10. And if we look at verse 1, we see that Daniel has received a revelation or a vision of some great war that is to happen in the future. And then if we look at verse 2, we see that Daniel at that time mourned for 3 weeks. He ate no choice food, no meat, or wine touched his lips, and he used no lotions at that time until the 3 weeks were over. I think what Daniel was doing during these 3 weeks was praying to God and asking God for greater understanding. Let's keep reading, but I want us to particularly focus on what we read in verses 10 to 14. But let's carry on reading from verse 4. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from upaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. Does anybody want to say who they think this is? It's the Lord Jesus, isn't it? Verse 7, I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left, my face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking. And as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. I hope this evening that you are encouraged by these words. Daniel began to pray to the Lord and saw no immediate answer to his prayers, but he was told by the Lord. That he had been heard from the very first day that he began to pray. And the Lord was at work. Straight away. It was just that it took a little while before Daniel actually saw the answer to his prayer. Doesn't this encourage us to go on praying? We might not see answers to our prayers straight away, but the Lord has heard. And if it's according to his will, well, he's already began perhaps to put things into place in order that we might see the answer to our prayers. When we pray according to God's will, he hears, and secondly, he gives. Sometimes, of course, God does give immediately. As I was preparing, my mind went to the story in the book of Acts where Peter found himself in prison. What
What was the church doing? The church was praying earnestly for Peter to be released. And wonderfully, miraculously, the Lord made it possible for Peter to escape. And he turned up at the door where the church was still praying for them. And I think surprised them because they had not expected such a wonderful and immediate answer to their prayers. And you remember how at first there was some debate as to whether it could really be him. And it took him a little while before he could get his foot in the door. But sometimes God does answer immediately, whilst at other times we have to wait, just as Daniel had to wait a number of weeks before he saw an answer to his prayers. Or as Mary and Martha did. Do you remember the story of how their brother Lazarus became unwell? Obviously Mary and Martha were concerned, and so they sent word to the Lord Jesus. They asked him if he would come and make Lazarus well again. Well, Jesus heard their prayer, didn't he? Interestingly, he stayed where he was for a few days. In fact, he stayed where he was until Lazarus died, which might seem a little bit strange. But of course, he waited in order that he might go and raise Lazarus from the dead so that Mary and Martha's prayers might be answered in an even more wonderful way than they could ever have anticipated. Someone was telling me recently that Elmstead Baptist Church, that we know well, prayed for 20 years for a Sunday school. That's a long time, isn't it, to pray for a Sunday school. They were without any children on a Sunday morning for many, many years. They have 40 children in their Sunday school today. When did God first hear their prayers, I wonder? Well, I suspect it was 20 years ago. Why didn't they see answers to their prayers 10 years ago or 15 years ago? Well, I don't know the answer to that question, but what I do know is that God heard and God answered their prayers in His time and in His way. As we begin to draw our time in 1 John to a close this evening, there's one word in verse 15 that I want us to take note of. Let me read again from verse 14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have, past tense, what we asked of Him. In other words, if we ask according to God's will, what we ask for is already in the bag, so to speak. The check, we might say, is already in the post. We just have to wait for it to arrive. And I think that this means that we are able to give thanks to God before we actually receive answers to our prayers. Interestingly, some of us, and Laurie's already mentioned this evening, went to Elmstead on Wednesday evening. Did you listen, those of you that were there, carefully to some of the prayers that were spoken? I found it interesting. Some of the prayers were spoken along these lines. Thank you, Lord, for what you are going to do. I found that fascinating. Thank you, Lord, for what you are going to do. They obviously believed that their prayers were according to God's will and that God would answer them, and therefore they could give thanks to God in advance for what He was going to do.
As I draw to a close this evening, let me tell you the story of how Martin Luther once prayed. You might find it a little bit strange, but, you know, we are talking about Martin Luther. He was a bit of an eccentric, or what one might call a maverick in the church, but greatly used by God, and unquestionably an able and godly man. Martin Luther had a good friend named Frederick Myconius, who was a great helper to him during the days of the Reformation. In 1540, Myconius became so ill that he was on his deathbed, and the doctors said that he was going to die. Lying there, he wrote a last letter with trembling hand to Luther, telling him how much he appreciated him and that he was about to die. Immediately, Luther dispatched a reply to his friend. "I command you in the name of God to live, because I still have need of you in the work of reforming the church. The Lord will never let me hear while I live that you are dead, but will permit you to survive me. For I am praying, this is my will, and may my will be done, because I seek only to glorify the name of God." When Myconius received Luther's reply, he was so far gone that he had lost his ability to speak. But remarkably, in a few days, he completely recovered. He lived 6 more years to assist in the Reformation and outlived Luther by 2 months. God answered the believing prayer of Martin Luther for his friend Myconius. Now, I'm not recommending this evening that we pray to God in the same way that Martin Luther did all those years ago. But the point is this, that Luther clearly believed that he was praying in the will of God for his friend, and that God would therefore answer his prayer. In other words, he prayed expectantly, he prayed confidently. Of course, have been made aware over the years of churches where there have been prophecies given regarding a person who's been very unwell, saying that person will be made well. And in view of that, people in the congregation have prayed confidently to God for such a person's healing, believing that God will heal. And then the person has died. We do need to be careful when it comes to the matter of knowing God's will. I am mindful of that. But where we know God's will, we should be able to pray and ask with confidence, believing that God will hear us and give to us what we ask of Him. Well, I hope this evening has been an encouragement to us to pray with confidence and a sense of expectancy. Let me just read verses 14 and 15 as we finish. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. Shall we pray, and then we'll sing our final hymn. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity that we have to talk to You in prayer. We're invited to come before Your throne and to do so boldly. And Lord, if we ask according to Your will, we have been reminded this evening that we can expect to receive the things that we ask for. Perhaps there'll be times when you give to us immediately. Perhaps there are times when we have to wait. Perhaps there will be times when we have to continue to persist in prayer until we receive, Lord, the answer that we are looking for. But may we all, as individuals, and may we as a church, commit ourselves to the ministry of prayer. And may we be confident,
Lord, that you are a God who hears and answers our prayers according to your will. May we have a great expectancy as we turn to you in prayer, mindful that you can do amazing things because you are a great and amazing God. We've reminded ourselves this evening that Mary and Martha, they prayed that their brother would be made well, and they ended up seeing him being raised from the dead. They could never have imagined that. And we pray that you would answer our prayers in ways that we could never imagine, to your glory and for your honor. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.